Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah is Dalet. We are starting on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Haisa Gavoa. In the last 2 days, which is the first 2 days of the Masechta, so we've been discussing the heights of the Sukkah in terms of its maximum dimensions, both in terms of height of the Sukkah and also in terms of the length and width of the Sukkah. Daf Beis introduces the first Mishnah, the maximum height of a Sukkah. Sukkah cannot be greater than 20 amos. It's a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, but we follow the sheet of the Chachamim, which means that the cap of the height of the Sukkah is going to be 20 amos. And yesterday's daf, we focused on the length and the width of the Sukkah and what is going to be the minimum dimensions of that. Although it is coming up later in the Masechta, where the Gemara is going to be discussing it again, but yesterday we clarified that the length and width of a Sukkah is Rosh Aruba V'Shulchano. The Sukkah has to be large enough in order to contain your head, the majority of your body, and a very small table that goes in there as well. The Gemara doesn't use the terminology yesterday, but we noted it's 7x7 Tfachim, an extraordinarily small area, but that's it. That's the minimum length and width of a Sukkah. So those have been the two big discussions in terms of the basic structure of the Sukkah, both in terms of its maximum height and length and width. We're going to return now to the discussion regarding height. We start with the Gemara's discussion today, where let's say the Sukkah is higher than 20 amos, and so what do you want to do? You want to correct. So how do you correct it? So obviously you could lower the schach, but right now we're going to start from a different direction, and that is we're going to raise the floor. So how do I raise the floor? So it's very simple. You put material down on the floor. And what we're going to start off our discussion with this morning is what materials am I going to use that are going to successfully raise the floor? Now, we don't mean whatever is going to successfully raise the floor. You put any material down and it will raise the floor. But what we mean to say is that halachically, what is going to be considered something that's significant and where basically we know the item is going to be there. This discussion over here, although the discussion on the Gemara is going to be really short, it's going to be a little bit complicated, but only because there really are two factors that need consideration. Number one, the first factor is going to be the material that you use. The material that is more permanent, like rocks, like pebbles, like dirt, like earth. So those are materials where if you put it down over there, obviously the plan is to leave it there for a very long time. If you're using a material like tevin, like straw, so okay, that's a material where your animals may want it for eating. You may want it to give it to your animals for eating. So that is a material where it's not as permanent. And then, of course, there are materials like pillows and blankets and sheets, where those are materials where you may not want it there all the time. They're more delicate items. They're more expensive items. Okay. So in terms of the materials, so basically what I gave you is like your three categories of materials. There's another factor that's involved in as well, and that's kavana. Meaning when you're putting the item down over there, so what is your kavana? Is your kavana that you really plan on leaving there for the duration of Sukkot? Is your kavana, I'll go in order, you didn't state clearly that you're going to leave it there for the duration of Sukkot, but you have no plans of taking it away? Is your kavana just tam? In other words, you have no kavana whatsoever. You just put it down and you don't say anything, you don't think anything. Or is your kavana that you plan on picking it up tomorrow, 2 days from now? Okay, so that is another factor that's involved. So we have to basically now deal with two factors as we get into this discussion, and that is the material that you use and the kavana that you had. Okay, that's a great way to think about the upcoming sugya. Let us get underway. So your sukkah is higher than 20 amos. So first we're going to be discussing being mevatel with bekarim of ksasos, using pillows and blankets. So that's not going to be a miut. That will not minimize the height of the sukkah. And even if you say that you're mevatel it, nevertheless, butla daitel etzel kol adam. Nobody leaves out their pillows for a week. And the fact that you say you're going to do so that is considered a total outlier. And therefore, your kavana is not going to have, even if you say so, it will simply be disregarded. Rashi, two times on this line of the Gemara, says that over here, what we're talking about when you say that you're mevatel it, it means that you're mevatel for the week of Sukkot, meaning not forever, just simply means for the week of Sukkot. Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, Shein Tzofel Anich Sham Kol Zayim Imnei Hefze Mamona, right? Rashi, when presenting the first line of the Gemara that says that it's not a miut, It's because nobody leaves it there for a week. And Va'afagav debalino, the next Rashi on the top of Dalam and Aleph, he writes, L'chol shiva baladaita, etzukol adam ve'im bitul abito. Even if I plan on leaving it there for the whole week, and I say I'm going to leave it there for the whole week, but again, it's such a strange notion that you are mevutal, your thought process is basically nullified. Okay. Anyways, it's clear from Rashi over here that when it says permanently in the context of Sukkot, just simply means for the balance of the week of Sukkot. Anyway, so Karim Uksaso does not work at all in order to raise the floor. Okay, so now let's move on to the next material, Tevin. So Tevin uvitlo havemir v'koshkein afar uvitlo. So if, let's say, we use straw or we use dirt and you're mevatalit. Okay, so you're talking now about more permanent materials and your kavana. You say clearly, you articulate and say that you plan on leaving it here for the duration of Sukkot. That for sure is going to work. That now you have successfully raised the floor and now you've minimized the total height. And therefore, it's going to be a kasher Sukkah. Okay, so we now know the extremes, and the extremes are really clear. So Karim Uksasos, even with Bittel, does not work. Tevin and Afar with Bittel, that for sure will work. Okay, now we're going to fill in some of the middle categories. Tevin Veinasi Lifno, so let's say it's straw. So again, straw is like a middle material, and Einasi Lifno, so. And what Machshava do you have? Well, you don't articulate and say that you're going to leave it there for the week, but really the truth of the matter is that you have no plans to move it. Okay? That is the category of ein asid lifnoso. So, or afar stam. Or let's say it's dirt, and I have no kavana whatsoever. So again, as I rattled off the kavana, the levels of kavana at the beginning of the sugya, so it comes out to the topping where you're mevatalit, articulating that you plan on leaving it there for the week. Level number two is ein asid lifnoso. You didn't articulate, but you really thought that you have no plans on moving it. The third level down is stam, no kavana in either direction. And the fourth level down from there is that you know you're going to remove it within the week. Okay, so when it comes to Tevin and it's category number two, ein asid lifnoso. Or if it's afar and it's category number three, stam. So under those circumstances, machlokas, Rav Yosef Rabbanan. So where do we stand on these? So it's a machlokas. Now, where do we see this machlokas? It's a Mishnah Noalos. Funny place to find a machlokas that relates to Sukkah. But nevertheless, as you will see, the issue over here is that when I lay down these particular materials with that kind of kavana, so do I plan on leaving it there or not? The Mishnah Noalos is describing a house filled with straw or with stones. And I mevatal it, I articulate and say I plan on leaving it there, it is considered mevutal. What is this teaching us in terms of olos? So we know the halacha is that if I have mace, if I have kezayis ben hames, remainder of human remains, as long as it is the kezayis of the flesh, so it gives off what's called tumas ohel. Okay, which we discussed time and again throughout Shas. The idea behind Tumas Ohel is that not only is the Tumah going to be transmitted through Maga and through Masa, but also Ohel as well, which means that the Tumah will just simply rise up through the airspace directly over that which it's over, and it continues to go up until it hits a roof. When it hits a roof, it then will spread out over the entire roof, and it will drop down over the entire area of the roof. Okay, this we all know. We also know that if there is no roof, it continuously goes up. Ad l'shamayim. So now, what we're describing over here is that there's a mace in the house, and yes, the house has a roof to it, but the house is totally filled in. Okay, unusual scenario, but the point is as follows. If it's filled in with either straw or pebbles, and I mevatal it, so then it's mevoto, which means then that there is no airspace between the mace and the roof that's over it. And therefore the tumah is just going to go straight up and continuously go straight up. Okay. And now what's clear over here is as follows. When the straw and the stones are going to be considered mevotal and there's no airspace, it's only when I am mevatal it. So I have to be category number one. The diuk in the Mishnah is very clear. Bitlo in lo, bitlo lo. Which means then that only if I'm mevatal it, only under those circumstances, only then it's going to be mevoto. V'tani Allah. Now, that's the Mishnah in Oalos. Now, on that, We have a supplementary brisa. The brisa reads, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Tevin Venos Lifnoso, Hareu Ka'afer Stam Ubatel. So if I have straw and I don't plan on moving it, which again, on our Kavana depth chart, that's level number two. And offer stam, uvato offer vasa, I'm sorry, the hareka offer stam, uvatel, and it becomes bato. Offer vasi lifnosa hareka stam tevin velo bato. If on the other hand, I have offer, which is now level number four, I plan on moving it. So that is going to be considered like tevin stam, and therefore it doesn't become bato. Okay. Now I know, as I pointed out, I know all this can get a little bit confusing. So basically, let's quickly summarize. So we have over here now, where we know for sure that's going to be mevatel is if I'm mevatel, if I'm mevatel it. I was going to say mevatel b'yadayim. Not exactly. In other words, I put the stones over there, I put the straw over there, and I mevatel it. And I articulate and say that I plan on leaving it here for some time. So by Sukkos, it means for a week, for the full week of Sukkos. Over here in the Mishnah, I really don't know what it means, but it means that you have no plans on moving it at any point and for the foreseeable future. So if we're talking about straw or if we're talking about dirt, earth, dirt, pebbles, so under those circumstances, for sure, it's considered mevutal. And I also know that when it comes to karmuk sasos, so there, when it comes to pillows, so it will never be mevutal, even if I'm mevatel it. It never will be mevutal. Where is the gray area? The area subject to a machlokis. So when it comes to teven, so straw, so there, if it's category number two, which means that I'm not mevatel it, I don't articulate, but I have no plans, I'm moving it. So that's category number two of ein osid lifnoso. Or if it's offer category number three, where there, just no kavana whatsoever. Right, I don't plan on moving it. I don't plan on not moving it. I just simply have no kavana whatsoever. So for those two, tevin level number two, offer level number three. That's the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. Tanakam is of the position. Nope, no good. Meaning it's not mevotel, and Rav Yossi is of the position batel. Good. So now, if I want to raise the floor in order to get to the height between the floor and the schach to be below 20 amos, and I'm raising the floor. So now, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Is that if what I'm using to raise the floor is going to be either straw, category number two, or offer category number three, stam, so if we are going to do that, so that's going to be subject to the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, the Chacham and Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi would say it's good, the Chachamim would say it's not good. If I had to guess, I'm only guessing, the halach would be like the Chachamim over that of Rav Yossi, generally speaking, Rabbim Yachid Halachik Rabbim, and so therefore that means that you have not successfully minimized the sukkah. What you have to do by Tevin, you have to be mevatel it. When it comes to offer, what do you have to do? You have to go up to category number two, ein asid lifnosa. Okay. Oh, and the schach is already, very good. If the schach is already there, excellent question. Excellent. Maybe you would have to pick up the schach and put it back down again. Okay, fine. Okay, good. All right, excellent. The Gemara made the comparison. Oh, another really good point. The Gemara made the comparison as if there's no difference in terms of what is considered, permanently there. Okay, but I understand. Okay, Haisa Gavoa, continuing now in the Gemara, Dala Medalef, about 10 lines down. Haisa Gavoa Me'aser Mama, Vehutzin Yod Misoch Chafama. So let's say it's higher than 20 amas, but the schach is really thick, and not only is the schach really thick, but it actually dangles into the airspace of the sukkah. Okay, for those who make up their schach of palm fronds here in South Florida, it's really popular, and that's what I use. So under those circumstances, so now imsilsa meruba mechamsak shera v'im la psula. So now here's another way of minimizing the height of the sukkah, and that is that provided the schach that dangles is significant. Meaning if I'm just looking at the schach that's below 20 amos and I find that to be thick enough where now it is sufficient spreading of kasher schach below 20 amos, so now the sukkah is going to be kasher sukkah. Otherwise, it's not going to be kasher sukkah. And the chiddush, of course, over here is that despite the fact that you have schach above 20 amos, but what we'll do halachically is we'll ignore it and we'll just look at the schach that's below 20 amas, and providing that's sufficient, so then it's going to be a kasher sukkah. Good. Now, haisa gvoa, let me first get to the contrast. Haisa gvoa yutfachim vuhutzin yordin lesochiyod. So let's say now the sukkah is above 10 tfachim. Remember, 10 tfachim is the minimum height of a sukkah. So right now the sukkah is fine. In other words, and the schach is above 10 tfachim. But again, it's dangling. It's dangling into the sukkah. But not a significant amount. So Savra Abai Lamemrim Khamta Maruba Mitzosak Shera. So Abai said, well, here's what I think. I think that is as long as it's a light amount that is below 10 tfachim. Now light just simply means that if I looked at just the section that's below 10 tfachim, and it's Khamta Maruba Mitzosa, there's more sun than shade, so then it should be fine. Meaning it's basically gonna be the inverse of what we just described, and therefore it should be fine. So Amalei Rava says no. So Rava's correction over here is that it's not fine. And the reason why it's not fine is because, think about it, already the schach is really low. 10 tfachim, as we already pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, 3 feet in the air. And now what? And now you are basically just, you're squatting, probably lying down in order to fit in such a sukkah. And now you have some of the schach that's actually encroaching into your really limited airspace. So Rava describes that as a dira srucha, literally a smelly dira. Just it's uncomfortable. Meaning who would want to live in such a not only small sukkah, but it's the fronds are now encroaching in your airspace. So Rava says it's no good. Now when he says dira srucha, it means it's pasul medaraisa, pasul medarabanan. Not sure, not clear, but certainly he does not view it as a valid sukkah. Okay. Right, so presumably the chiddush is that the havamina would be, I don't want to spend too much time on the havamina, but the havamina would be that the schach above is considered schach pasul, and then you have a collection of schach pasul and schach kasher. Okay, that's the havamina. Haisa gva me'asri mamo vanaba itztaba. Okay, so now, if you happen to have a picture over here, it'd be really helpful. There is even in the standard Gemara, in the classic Gemara, which is the one I'm using, so it's a schematic. So it's somewhat helpful, but really, if you have a three-dimensional picture, it'd be really helpful over here. Ha'isukvam Master Mama. So let's say your sukkah is higher than 20 amos of Abba Itzdaba. And so what you do is you build the platform. Kineged Dofen Emsai up in a Kula. Now it happens to be that the first scenario is that the platform over here basically is flush against the back wall. Right? The standard sukkah is going to be three walls. And so now the platform that's built is flush against that back wall. V'yesh b'hechsher sukkah. Now above the platform, on the platform, you have the dimensions of a kasher sukkah. In length and width, it's at least 7 by 7. The height now between the top of the platform and the schach is less than 20 amas. So then you're going to be good. And now it's going to be a kasher sukkah. Now, before we go on to the next case of the Gemara, there's a really interesting Rashi over here, much discussed. Rashi says, what part of the sukkah is good? For sure, the part of the platform is going to be good, because on the platform itself, it qualifies as a good sukkah. You have three walls, and you have a height of less than 20 amas between the top of the platform and the schach. But Rashi says, but I'll tell you what, you actually have more kasher sukkah. What else is a kasher sukkah? The portion that's in front of the platform. That also is going to be kasher sukkah as well. Why? It's based on a gemara that we're going to see later in our perek. This is a long perek. Perek is about 20 blot. On Daf Yates, so the Gemara has a scenario in which, or a rule, which is Pesel Hayotze Min HaSukkah, Nidon Kesukkah. Okay, the Gemara over there is going to happen to give a number of interpretations of what that means, but the basic idea is as follows. First of all, the word is Pesel, Pei Samach Lamed. I know it's confusing. I'm sure I read it at one point in time, Pesel, but it's not. It's Pesel. Pesel is a reference to Schach, right? Basically the leftovers, the chaff, if you will. Of the grains. So if I have a kasher sukkah and I have pesel hayotze min hasukkah, and now I have kasher schach coming emerging from there, even though it does not have the requisite walls, nevertheless that continued schach is still going to have the status of being a kasher sukkah. Now, when we get to the Gemara in your test, we'll go over exactly what that scenario is. We will look together to see exactly how that works. But what Rashi is doing is that Rashi is giving now an application. The Gemara in Yutes does not give this particular application. Rashi here does. Rashi says that since on the area of the platform, it is a kasher sukkah, so therefore the part in front is also going to be a kasher sukkah as well. As an extension of the kasher sukkah. And even though, right, obviously Rashi over here is representing a chiddush, even though the area in front of the platform is an area higher than 20 amos, nevertheless, since it emerges from a kasher sukkah, so therefore it falls under the category pesel ayotzim in a sukkah. Good. You can argue with Rashi, not only, well, I don't know if we can argue with Rashi, but other Rishonim argue with...
Is there a limit as to how far you can go? So you could have a huge sukkah and just...
It would seem, according to Rashi, that way. According to Rashi, that seems to be correct. Many Rishonim argue with Rashi. The Rush notably over here argues with Rashi. Anyway, that's obviously a chiddush. Now, we go to the next case of the Mishnah. And next case of the Mishnah, same scenario. Sukkah's higher than 20 amos. I'm building a platform, but the platform over here that we're building now is min atzad, it's from the side. Again, if you have a picture over here, it'll be very helpful for you to visualize it. So basically now the platform is not flush against the back, but it's flush against one of the side walls. So, im yesh mitzvah sitzaba lakosol da amos psula pachos me'arba amos ksheira. So the Gemara says, here's the halacha. The halacha is now, is that from the edge of the platform, not the one that is flush against the side, but the edge of the platform now to the opposite wall, if it's less than dal amos, the sukkah is going to be kasher. If it's greater than dal amos, the sukkah is going to be psula. Now, why should that be? So this is a principle. This is the first time now we're being introduced to it in the Masechta, and it's what's called Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma is the halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, right? We're going to be introduced, especially today, to a lot of halachas that are not explicitly written in the Torah, but nevertheless, it's part and parcel of our Mesorah, falls under the category of halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. So this is the halacha of Dofen Akuma, a really fascinating halacha where basically what we can do is that we can look at a wall, and even though walls are typically vertical, but if a small portion of the wall then makes a 90-degree bend, that 90-degree bend could still be viewed as part and parcel of the wall. And this is what's called Dofen Akuma. How far can we view the 90-degree bend, the L bracket? How far can we view it as just simply as an extension of the wall? Up to 4 amos. Now, that's significant. 4 amos, right? An am is about 2 feet. So you're talking about 8 feet. Again, I'm not giving halachic, I'm just giving us ways to think about it. So, right, that's about 6 to 8 feet in terms of an extension. And that, and even though now it is horizontal, but nevertheless, the halacha says that we can view that as part and parcel of the wall. So that means to say now that the area that is next to the platform, so as long as from the edge of the platform to the opposite wall is less than 4 amos, so now we could say that the halach of Dofen Akuma, so that now you're basically, that area above, the area that's greater than 20 amos, is considered part of the wall. And therefore, the sukkah is going to be kasher sukkah. Greater than dal amos, no longer do we have the halach of Dofen Akuma, and now, basically, you no longer have a kasher sukkah. Because at this point in time, now the platform is only bounded by two walls, and therefore it's not going to be good. So my kamash malan, yeah, would Rashi say that over here? Rashi does not say it over here. Here it'd be much harder to say. So my kamash malan, damin and dofen akuma, tanina. So the Gemara says, congratulations, you introduced me to dofen akuma. The Gemara says, it's a Mishnah, meaning once the Mishnah teaches me about dofen akuma, so you really haven't introduced a new idea. And this Mishnah is coming up later in our Masechta. So, Baishin, if Chas V'sicha Chag above, let's say the roof caves in. In general, not a good thing. On the other hand, well, look at that. We're going to make ourselves a sukkah. So, Im Yesh Min HaKosel Sichuch Dal Amas Psulavi HaPachos Mikan Ksheira. So, the Mishnah says that if the area between the collapsed portion of the roof, in other words, only the interior portion of the roof collapsed, so now I'm going to make, I'll take a negative and I'll turn it to a positive. And I'll just put schach right over the collapsed portion. So it will be good, but provided that the distance between the uncollapsed portion of the roof and the actual vertical wall is less than dal amos, because then we get to employ the rule of Dofen Akuma. Once it's greater than dal amos, so we no longer can say Dofen Akuma. So what did we just learn together? We just learned together the rule of Dofen Akuma based on a Mishnah later in the Masechta. So now, because of the case of the platform, so you want to introduce me to Dofen Akuma? We've already been introduced. We already have the Mishnah. So Mao Detema, the Gemara says, correct. But over here in our case, in the case of the platform, we have a Chiddush, an extra Chiddush. And that is, I might have thought Hasam Hu Dechazel Dofen. So when it comes to the collapsed roof, so there, every wall that is circumscribing the area is a kasher wall, meaning the case of the house collapse with a collapsed roof, all the walls are within 20 amos. Avahacha delo chazil adofen. But over here, the wall that I'm using to make dofen akuma is a wall that's above 20 amos. I might have thought that such a wall I can't use in order to make the rule of dofen akuma. I might have thought the havamina would have been, since that wall in of itself is a disqualified wall for a sukkah, so maybe it cannot be used in order to create dofen akuma. So emalo kamash malan. So that's a chiddush. Oh, okay, good. So now we have a chiddush that because this wall is bringing us, is because dofen akuma is bringing this wall now up to the platform, so thereby we are no longer looking at it as a disqualified wall, but now we get to look at it as a qualified wall. So it's dofen akuma, but with a little extra chiddush involved, and that's why, even though I know the Mishnah later on, that's why this case over here still gives us a somewhat novel idea. Okay, one more round of dofen akuma, and that is, let's say now the walls of this particular sukkah is much greater than 20 amos, and now what I do is I just create a stage right in the middle. It's a platform, not flush against any wall. In fact, it stands there in the center of the sukkah. So now, im yesh mitzvah itztaba l'ulodofen arba amos l'chol ruach v'ruach psula, pachus me'arba amos kishera. So now, if the total distance between the edge of the platform and the walls is less than dala amos, great, so then we invoke the rule of dofen akuma. If it's greater than dala amos, then we don't get to invoke the rule of dofen akuma. At this point in time, the Gemara says, okay, I got it. What did you just teach me over here? Another application of the rule dofen akuma? Get it? So my kamash malan damin dofen akuma hainuach. We already said that. So mao detema dofen akuma meruach achas aminaval kol ruach veruach lo kamash malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is a chiddush. Dofen akuma, when I had the platform flush against the side of the sukkah, so we were only using dofen akuma in order to be machshir one wall. Over here, when I have the platform in the middle, and now I'm using dofen akuma on all three sides, I might have thought that doesn't work. The chiddush is, no, dofen akuma works on any and all sides. Next. Haisa p'chusa miyutfachim. Next case over here is that, let's say the sukkah is below 10 tefachim. Okay, so in other words, it doesn't even hit the minimum height of 10 tefachim. So now, what do I want to do? So over here, once again, the easiest solution, of course, is to raise the walls. But let's say I don't raise the walls, but rather I dig and I lower the ground. So v'chakak b'kedei l'ashlima l'asara. And so what do I do? And now is I basically dig around the ground of the sukkah so that now the distance from the dug ground to the top of the schach is going to be greater than 10 tefachim. So now it works. So im yesh, however, im yesh mitzvah schach kakul kosel gimel tefachim psula, pachos mishlosh tefachim kshera. But over here, the dug area has to be within 3 tefachim of the wall. If it's anything greater than 3 tefachim of the wall, so it's not going to be good. Now, maishna hasam damar pachos me'arba amos, maishna hachadamar pachos mishlosh tefachim. So now let's try to figure this out, says the Gemara. In the case where the sukkah was above 20 amos, and what I'm doing is I'm raising the floor, and I put a platform over there. So as long as the edge of the platform to the walls is under 4 amos, so then it's going to be good, because then we invoke the rule of dofen akuma. But when it comes to a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim, and now I'm digging the ground in order to create more area, so there, the dug area has to be within 3 tefachim of the wall. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. It's very intuitive. The Gemara spells it out. Hasam di isa ledofen pachos me'arba amos sagya. So when it comes to the sukkah that is above 20 amos, and now what I'm doing is that I am, I already have a wall. Just happens to be wall's too high. Okay, fine. So now we can invoke the rule of dofen akuma. Because the wall's already in place, I just need it to be closer to the edge of the platform in order for it to be kasher sukkah. Dofen akuma accomplishes that. Fine. But over here, hacha, in the case of the sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim, I don't even have a wall. A wall, by definition, must be 10 tefachim. Anything less than 10 tefachim, halachically, is not a wall. Tomorrow's daf, by the way, we're going to establish how we know that. But we know that. So now, I have to generate a wall. That's much different than taking said wall and just simply bringing it closer to the platform. But over here, when we're talking about generating a wall, hacha l'shevuya l'dofen. So pachos mishosha tzvachim in ilo lo. So there, the dofen akuma does not generate a wall. All dofen akuma does is take a wall that already exists and moves it closer. Over here, to generate a wall, so what I need to do now is I need to dig into the ground so that the hole in the ground actually is there to help create the wall. Oh, so there I need not dofen akuma, but rather I need lavud. Lavud tells me that anything within three tvachim on another is considered as if they're connected. So the hole in the ground must be within three tvachim of the sukkah so that we can actually now make a wall, to generate a wall. Okay, so then I need lavud and not dofen akuma. Haisa gavoa, we continue. Haisa gavoa me'asu ma'ama. Sukkah is higher than 20 amas of baba. Amashu gavoa sarat tvachim. So over here now I'm going to build the platform. However, the platform is not going to be within four amos of any of the walls. However, the platform is very high. Platform is 10 tefachim off the ground. Okay, right? It's a significant jump to get up to the platform. But still, the point is as follows. V'yesh bo hechsher sukkah. And oh, by the way, the platform also has the area of a kasher sukkah. So savra abaya mama good asik mechitzasa. So abaya says good. So now we're going to introduce ourselves to another rule when it comes to mechitzas, and that's good achis. Or in this case, good asik. And that is the idea that what's going to happen now is that the side of the platform continues to go up. So that means to say that you have a platform, and now what's going to happen is that although you don't see mechitzos, nevertheless, the side of the platform is going to continue to go upward. The idea of good asik, good in Aramaic means wall, and asik means that it goes up. And so this concept, this idea of the walls going up, so now even though I can't see the walls around me, but legally speaking, halachically speaking, I do have walls around me based on this rule of good asik. Good. In other areas of halacha, it works. Does it work over here? So right now, the Gemara is in the middle of arguing. Yeah, it works. Abaye argues that. So Amalei Rava bina mechitzas inikars v'leika. And Rava says, no, well, it doesn't work over here. Why? Because by sukkah, I need another aspect, another dimension to the walls of a sukkah, and that is mechitzas anikaros. The walls have to be recognizable, meaning that in other areas of halacha, it may be considered a wall. In the arena of sukkah, I need it to actually be visible, recognizable. So the legal fiction that works in other areas in halacha does not work over here, at least according to the Shita of Rava. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara says, okay, let's consider the following braisa. If let's say what we did is that we planted four poles and we put schach on top of the four poles. Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'chacham and posim. So Rabbi Yaakov says, sukkah is a great sukkah. And the chachamim say, no, it's not. It's disqualified. Okay, so if we're just envisioning right now a canopy made up of four poles with schach on top of it, it's really hard to imagine how in the world Rav Yaakov can look at that and say, you have a kosher sukkah. There are no walls. We learned in our Mishnah, in order for a sukkah to be kosher sukkah, it has to have minimum three walls. So what's going on over here? Obviously, what's going on over here is that we don't have enough context, right? The Bryce over here is obviously referring to a case with more context. We need it. So what is the additional context over here that allows for a debate to occur in this scenario? So the Gemara presents two ways to understand this Bryce. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. We start with Rav Huna. I'm Rav Huna Machlokas Asfas Agag. So over here, it's not that the poles are on the ground. The poles are actually on the top of the building. Okay, so you have a building, and now you're on the top of the building, penthouse, and on the roof of this building. So what you're going to do now is not only you're on the roof of the building, but you're on the edge of the roof. And now, by the way, where's the ma'aka right now? Not here. So anyway, so on the roof of this building. So now what I'm going to do is on the four corners of the building, I'm going to now put four poles. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put schach on top. Now, Rav Yaakov savra min good asik mechitzasa. So now Rav Yaakov says, good. Now where are my walls? The walls of the building. Because the walls of the building are now legally going to continue to ascend upward. And therefore now I'm bound by walls around me. Walls I can't see, but legally are there. And Rabbanan Savrei lo armin good asik mechitzasa, and the Chachamim say, no, I don't subscribe to that principle. Now, presumably what he means is that not that I don't subscribe to that principle, but I don't subscribe to that principle over here, meaning this is sukkah. And by sukkah needs to be mechitzas hanikaros. It needs to be walls that are visible. So even though legally in other areas of halacha it may work, but not here by sukkah. Good. That's the proper context in which they're arguing. However, aval be'emtza agag divrei kol psula. But if I took the poles and I put them in the middle of the roof, meaning to say that they are not at the edge of the roof, but they're somewhere in the middle of the of our penthouse of the rooftop. So then everyone would agree, of course, that's not, it's no good. Why? Because you don't have walls. And no, and not real walls, not legal walls as well. Good.
Hmm?
If it's within three tefachim of the wall, so then we're back to, that's considered the edge. Right. Good. Good. So good. That's Rav Huna's understanding of this machlokus between, Rabbi Yaakov and the Chacham.
Now, even if it's 3 foot from the wall, it wouldn't work. Because then you have to say 2 things.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So, right, so you're right. So Rav Chaim is pointing to a comment made by a number of Rishonim, right? I don't have the exact Mar Makom, but I'm pretty sure it's the Ran. The Ran says that what you're not allowed to do is that you're not allowed to put together two halach lamoshe misinais. In order to arrive at a legal wall, if I have one halach lamoshe misinai, that works. If I have two halach lamoshe misinais, then I need to rely on, so it doesn't work. So that is the opinion of the Ran. And over here, right, that would be a fantastic application. Meaning to have good asik and to have lavud, so that would require two halach lamoshe misinais. Presumably the Ran, that would be right. The Ran would say that wouldn't work. Okay, good. Right. Very, very good. Rav Nachman has a different view, which is as follows. Again, we start with the Braisa. I put 4 poles on the ground. I put tzchach on top of it. Rav Yaakov says it works, and the Chachamim say it does not work. Now, according to Rav Nachman, be'emtza hagag machlokes. So Rav Nachman says that they're arguing where it's be'emtza hagag. It's in the middle of the roof, and they're debating. Now, how could that possibly be? So stay tuned because we're going to explain that. That's really hard to understand, but we're going to explain it. So ibay lahu. But before we explain it, the Gemara now wants to know. According to Rav Nachman, they're arguing when it's in the middle of the roof. Be'emsa hagag machlokis, avasfas hagag divrei akol kshera. Does that mean that if I put the poles at the edge, at the corners of the roof, does that mean that both the Chacham and Rav Yaakov would say that it's good? Oh, duma, bein bezu machlokis. Or maybe no. Maybe there's a machlokis both where it's in the middle of the roof, or it's even when the 4 poles are on the 4 corners of the roof as well. Take what the Gemara says, look, I don't know. Meaning, according to Rav Nachman, certainly the argument exists when it's besoch hagag, unclear as to whether or not they're arguing where it's at the edge of the roof. Okay. So right now we have a Braisa presenting a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov. We also now have 2 ways to present and contextualize the debate. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna says that the debate is only where it's at the edge, but when it's in the middle, according to everyone, it's puzzle. Rav Nachman says that when it's in the middle, there's a machlokus. And then when it's by the edge, maybe a machlokus, unclear. Meisvei the Gemara says, okay, I have another Braisa. Braisa over here describes the following. Not stalakundasim ba'aretz. So over here, the Braisa describes, I'm putting 4 poles in the ground. Not on the rooftop, on the ground. V'sichech al gaban. I put tzchach on top of the 4 poles. Rabbi Yaakov machshev v'chacham and poslim. So Rabbi Yaakov says it's good. The chachamim says it's no good. Now over here, it's really clear that it's talking about the ground. Va'aretz dicha emtza agag damei. And the Gemara draws a really easy equivalency. The 4 poles on the ground is no different than 4 poles in the middle of the roof. And v'kamachshev Rabbi Yaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov says that such a sukkah would be a kosher sukkah. Again, for reasons which we haven't articulated yet, we will. But what comes out clearly over here? Tiyufta de Rav Huna Tiyufta. We now know that Rav Huna's understanding is an incorrect understanding. Meaning the Braisa tells us otherwise. So the Gemara says fine. So we have now rejected the opinion of Rav Huna. Even though Rav Huna experienced a TKO, the Gemara now wants to know, is he knocked out on 2 of his positions? Be'emsahu depligi. Now, in the Braisa, they're arguing about where the poles are in the middle of the roof. Aval, can we not then argue, alsfazagag divra kol kshera, that if, let's say, the poles were at the corners of the roof, where I have now the principle of good, asik mechitzasa, presumably, we don't know this, but presumably, then the Chacham and Rav Yaakov would say that it's kasher, and lemetiavetiyufta deravuna betarte. And now that would be a double knockout on Rav Huna. Not only is Rav Huna wrong regarding the poles being in the center where he said there is no debate, Clearly there is. But he's also wrong where he said that if the poles are on the edge of the roof, so then he said it's a machlokas. And now, presumably, we're saying it's not a machlokas. And now we'd be wrong, not once, but two times over. So Amalecha Ravuna, so the Ravuna would say no. Look, am I wrong about where the poles are in the middle of the roof? Yeah, I'm wrong about that. However, Amalecha Ravuna, pligi behemta agag, v'o dinos fasagag. It could very well be that Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim would agree, would disagree whether the poles are in the center or even when they're on the edge. V'had to come ifligi behemta agag. And why are they arguing specifically about the case of Emsa when they're also arguing about Sfas as well? Lo dicha kochad Rav Yaakov da'afilu be'emsa agag nami machshir, to showcase Rav Yaakov's position. Rav Yaakov is not only a mekel when the poles are on the edge of the roof. Rav Yaakov is also a mekel when it's in the middle of the roof. We have the principle of koach de hetera adif, when you can highlight and showcase somebody's mekel position. That is it's more impressive. And so that's why the Braisa chose that case. But who didn't? They're also arguing when it's on the edge of the roof as well. Okay. Four poles and Tzach on top of it. So we know we have a machlokas between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim. We also know that the Amoraim debate exactly what the context is of that scenario. One of the explanations, which is really the Gemara's preferred explanation, is Rav Nachman, that is if that the four poles are on the ground, and I put Tzach on top of it, and the Chachamim say it's no good, but Rav Yaakov says it's good. We at this point in time have not yet explained why in the world should it be good. Meaning at the edge of a rooftop, so we have the principle of good osik. The walls of the building continue to just simply ascend upwards. And so at least you now can formulate an argument why it should be good. But if we're talking about where the poles are on the ground, or if the poles are in the middle of the rooftop, so why would Rav Yaakov say it would work? According to the Chachamim, we totally understand why it doesn't work. You don't have four walls, you don't have three walls, you don't have one wall. But according to Rav Yaakov, it should work. Why should that be? Okay, coming up right now. Tanur Rabbanan. Now it's our Bekundasim Ba'aretz, V'sicha Chal Gaban. I put four poles on the ground. I put Tzach on top of it. Rav Yaakov Omar. Rav Yaakov says the following. The poles over here that we're describing.
Circular.
They're circular and they're big. Now when I say big, I don't mean massive, but Kol She'ilo Yichakaku V'yichalku V'yishmem Tefach L'chan V'tefach L'chan Nidonim mishum diyumad. V'imlav ein nidonim mishum diyumad. Oh. So he says like this. The poles, the circumference of the poles are such where if I were to, let's say, carve it out and square it, and now I would even carve it out further and make an L bracket, and I have now in both directions of the L bracket one tefach going in each direction, so we have in a halacha what's called a diyumad. Now hopefully you remember, going back to Erevin, the second parak of Erevin. So we were introduced over there to a halachic principle, a halachic concept called Pase Beiros, which means that if you're traveling on your way to Yerushalayim and you have to stop for Shabbos, and now you want to create an enclosure around, so you have a Rishus Yachid, so a leniency is provided in which you can make the four corners. Now there's an extensive discussion over there in terms of how far apart they can be from one another. Right now we'll bypass that discussion. Just the idea that as long as I have the corners filled in, so then we have now a Rishus Yachid. And so over here now, this idea of Rabbi Yaakov is that the poles in question over here are really thick. I don't actually have to carve it out, but if I did, I would have a tefach and tefach going in each direction, and therefore we have the principle of the yumid, and therefore what we have now is a successful enclosed area. Now it's interesting, by the way, because the yumid, generally speaking, we say is a Erevin discussion. It's a Rishus Yachid discussion. The idea now that we can move that over here to Sukkah obviously represents a Chiddush, but a Chiddush obviously that's only accepted by Rabbi Yaakov. The Chachamim don't subscribe to it. But at least now we understand what is the basis of his position, and that's the idea of Diyumdin.
The Sukkah cannot be more than 10 amos wide.
Right, excellent point. Okay, so Nidam Mishum Diyumdin. So V'imlav in Nidam Mishum Diyumdin. Okay, good. And this now aligns with the position of Rabbi Yaakov, which is that if I have a diyumid operating as my brackets for the sukkah, it works. And the chachamim omrim, no. And the chachamim say, look, in other areas of halacha, notably in Pase Beiros and by Shabbos, it works. Not by sukkah. By sukkah, you need actual, visible, physical walls. You need two plus. You need two walls plus a third wall. The third wall only needs to be a tefach. That third wall being a tefach, that is going to be discussed in much greater detail when we get to Daf Vav Amid Beis and Daf Zion. So we'll discuss that third wall in just a couple days from now. Okay, Adkan, we stop over here. Let's quickly recap our Daf today. A very visual Daf today. So again, if you have pictures, it's really good. It really helps you see. Our first discussion today was about where the sukkah was higher than 20 amos, and the strategy over here is to raise the floor. Good. So we talked about the two factors in terms of what successfully raises the floor. The material that you use and the kavana that you have when you put down the material. Good. So when you have those two things in mind, so then that would make for a successful raising of the floor, provided the material is correct and the kavana is correct. And again, we know what the extremes are. The middle categories is open to a machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim based on the Mishnah Noelos. Topic number one. Topic number two. I have sukkah higher than 20 amos, and now the schach is going down into the 20 amma area. If enough schach goes down into that area, right, as long as it's tzilsa meruba mechamta, so then you have a kosher sukkah. On the other hand, if I, let's say, have a sukkah that is just above 10 tefachim, and I have just a small amount of the schach dangling into the 10 tefachim, and it's not significant, nevertheless, it would be a bad sukkah, says Rava. Why? Because that's the concept of dira srucha. It's uncomfortable. Dofen akuma. On the Amud Aleph, then the next topic that we cover today is the idea behind Dofen akuma, which is that walls obviously are vertical, but walls also, halacha Moshe Mesinai, if the wall were to take a left or right-hand turn, it would take a perpendicular turn. So that perpendicular gets to be viewed as part and parcel of the wall, but to a limit. That limit is 4 amos. Up to 4 amos, we get to say that that is part of the vertical wall, and that's the principle of Dofen akuma. And we gave a lot of permutations of how Dofen akuma works, by one side, by three sides. Okay, good. That's the principle of Dofen akuma. If the sukkah is less than 10 tefachim, and I'm digging in the ground in order to make the enclosed area, the interior area, now 10 tefachim, so there I have to dig a hole where the edge of the hole is within 3 tefachim of the walls. Why? And why don't we just simply, by Dofen akuma, we allow for 4 amos, and over here has to be 3 tefachim. But the difference, says the Gemara, is very simple. And that is that over here we have to generate the walls. So since we're generating the walls, it has to be within a lover distance of 3 tefachim. The Abai and Rava argue the following. Do we in general in halacha, we do say good asik, that walls are able to continue to go upward, ascend upward. That's the idea of good asik. Is that going to work by sukkah? Abai says, yeah. Rava says, no. And the reason why is because Rava says that by sukkah, you need mechitzos anikaros. And then for the remainder of today's daf, a braisa, machlokus between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim, where I put 4 poles down and I put schach on top of it. Rav Yaakov says it's kosher and the Chachamim say it's pasul. So we need to contextualize that debate. What are they talking about? So two positions in terms of what they're talking about. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna says that what they're arguing about is good asik, exactly the debate of Rav and Abaye. In other words, the poles are put on the edge of a building, on the rooftop, on the edge of the roof of the building. And now they're in the four corners of the roof, and the walls of the building ascend upward. Is that going to work? That's the machlokas, as understood by Rav Huna. Rav Nachman says no. Rav Nachman says that's not the debate between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim, but rather, the debate between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim is where you put the poles on the ground. Where are your walls? So Rav Yaakov subscribes to the principle of using the concept of Diyumud that we use back in Erevin and applying it over here as well. That's Rav Yaakov. And the Chachamim say, no, that doesn't work. That works by Shabbos and by Pase Beiraus. But it does not work over here by Sukkah, because by Sukkah you need recognizable physical walls. 2+. You need 3 walls. The third wall could be shorter. We'll talk more about that in the upcoming Dapim. That is Rav Nachman's understanding. The Gemara certainly favored Rav Nachman's understanding, but even within Rav Nachman's understanding, the Gemara is still left open-ended whether they're arguing on the case of the of putting the poles on the ground, but maybe they agree regarding the edge of the roof, or maybe they're arguing in that case as well. Take the Gemara left that question unresolved.